tonight, the sacrifice, the suffering, the shame that you endured on the cross. Lord, we set aside tonight the time to remember the full extent of your love. Tonight we want to embrace your power, your redeeming power. Lord, continue its work in our lives. And Lord, I want to pray that you would bless and anoint each speaker and prepare each heart, Lord, to receive and to allow you to accomplish what you desire. Thanks for this opportunity to gather. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and be seated.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I hear a near revival stirring as we pray and seek. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you. Have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth and through eternity. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna. Praise you.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at the saving grace. I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my heart. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my
I haven't been first here before. I've been last, but so the scripture that I got to choose was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." It's in Luke 22:34. And I thought about this since last Sunday when Karen asked me if I wanted to do this, and it occurs to me, you know, there's a couple of themes in here. One is God's wisdom and our ignorance, and the other is forgiveness. And I think about from the first time that you open up the Bible and you start reading about the things that people have done. In the very beginning, we just were dumb. We were children in the garden. We immediately began to make mistakes, and God immediately began to forgive us. All through the Bible, you see the mistakes that people did, not mistakes always too, intentional wrongs that people did, and God continues to forgive us. Last Sunday, the things Dave said, one of the things I said was God's ways are above our ways. We are so small, our recognition of what's appropriate and what's right and what's wrong. We try really, really hard to understand and to do it right, but we just keep kind of going backwards. People talk about stuff like string theory and all these parallel, and it's not about that. We're just children and we don't get it. I look at the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments say, the first one's worship God, go to church, don't use his name wrong. Okay, that's simple. So simple. We have to have commandments to tell us to love God. We have to have commandments. Duh. And then the next ones. Don't kill each other. Don't lie to each other. Don't steal from each other. Don't covet things. You know, it's just, we have to be told those things. It's just amazing to think of all the things that we need to be forgiven of, and that God is so wonderful that from the moment the Big Bang or God spoke, however you want to think of it, he knew. He knew. This whole week, I think about Jesus walking to Jerusalem, firm face, walking to Jerusalem. He knew. And he still had the courage to say, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise. This is Luke 23:43, but I am going to start in verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Where or what is paradise? It's mentioned only three times in the Bible, the word paradise. Webster's dictionary defines paradise as 1, A, Eden, B, an intermediate place or state where the righteous await resurrection and the final judgment, or C, heaven, and 2, a place or state of bliss, felicity, or delight. Some of the other words that we use to describe paradise include City of God, Garden of Eden, New Jerusalem, Heavenly Kingdom, Promised Land, Eternal Home, Kingdom of Glory, and Presence of God. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul states, as found in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 3 and 4, "And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." And John, in writing the Revelation, states in chapter 2, verse 7, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise."
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice and the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved, we are saved.
He
was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice. And the life that you gave, we are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved, we are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed.
Well, there you are. Since I don't have my flannel board, I have to read it because I have to have props. And word number 3 is found in John 19, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. As I've been studying and teaching about these days leading up to the cross, I am just really struck this year by how deliberately and completely Jesus fulfilled every little detail of the Father's plan that he had spoken in prophetic word over the centuries. Throughout the Gospels, we see him doing things, quote, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. And in John chapter 19 alone, that phrase is used 3 times. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so the words prophesied about him would be perfectly fulfilled in his human life. I believe that as Jesus hung on the cross, he experienced very deep compassion for those that he was forgiving as he was repeating those words, "Father, forgive them," the ones that were killing him. I believe he had deep compassion for that thief next to him that repented at the last minute. And of course, he had deep compassion on his mother as he looked down at her and his best friend grieving together at the foot of the cross. But it was more than just compassion. His life purpose, his intention was to be the fulfillment of the law. And Jesus had said in Matthew 5, 17 and 18, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Jesus, God the Son, was the only human being who had successfully kept the entire law. Sometimes we call them the Ten Commandments. During his whole life, he kept every single one. The first 3 commandments, as Gene was sharing, he surely had no trouble with, for he was God the Son. He was wholly human, but he was also wholly God. To have no other gods before me, got that one. Make no graven images, he's not going to do that. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain, that's him. He's not going to do that. Even the 4th commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I was thinking about that one, and we know that he messed with the Pharisees on that one quite a bit. But, you know, he could have chosen to rise from the dead on the Sabbath, but he rested in the grave on the Sabbath. So we come to the 5th commandment. It must have been uniquely important for him to demonstrate the fulfillment of this commandment on the cross. Up to his dying breath, he honored his father and his mother. His father, we assume, had already died. One of his final words was expended for the sake of honoring and caring for his own mother. who better to ask than his best friend to take on this all-important task after he was dead? The other righteous mandates, not to kill, commit adultery, steal, lie about others, or covet, Jesus had already met perfectly throughout his life. But he had one final opportunity to prove that he was the perfect Son of God as he fulfilled to its end the fifth commandment to honor his father and his mother. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He fulfilled all righteousness. He placed the highest value on God's perfect law, knowing that we could never keep it. He did that for us, even on the cross. He was the spotless Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world and the sins of me, his daughter.
I decided I didn't need to do 5 minutes. My mom's next, so. She'll do 15. So I'm gonna be only up here for a minute. I did word number four, which I can't say. Who can? And it's, because I honestly can't even try. Somebody, I figured somebody would know how to say it. That one. my God, why have you forsaken me? I can't imagine God forsaking anybody, let alone his own son. Forsaken means to quit or leave entirely. Abandon or desert. I just think of Jesus on the cross. He's, you know, crying out to God and he's saying, you know, why? I've done all these things. I've done everything I was here to do. I've come to the earth and I'm, you know, going to save these people. You're just, you know, where are you? I need you right now more than anything. Why? Because of us. Because of all of our sin. From the littlest thing to the biggest thing, everybody's. And he had to carry that. I mean, I can't imagine carrying my own sin without forgiveness, let alone everybody's. It's just the amount of weight that he's carrying, and now he's carrying it alone. Not even following my. And I think about God and actually having to turn away. And why did he have to do that? The way I see it is, you know, there's a lot of sin. Can he handle looking at that? But would he even be able to let his son die on the cross if he had to be there? Would he? I wouldn't. I would save him, say, forget it. You know, these people aren't worth this much pain, this much sorrow, and I can't handle that. That's, you know, that's the only thing I can think of is he just couldn't handle letting his son do that. So he had to just turn away and let it happen because he knew that was the only way. Now where was I? Anyway, so, and then I also thought about how, you know, Jesus, he's alone and down in the depths of despair. I mean, he even said in Matthew 26:53, where he was in the garden, they had just were just arresting him, and he said, "Do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the Scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen thus?" And so it's like even there, he feels forsaken. He's got all this weight, and he knows he has to do it because he knows he has to fulfill the Scriptures and his purpose in life on earth. It's amazing because out of all the times on earth, well, the 40 days in the desert, but to be so completely down so completely, and yet he is going to fight for us, you know, who don't deserve it. And I'm just extremely grateful and blessed. And I think that's it. Thank you, Lord.
All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, Holy Spirit, come. Holy
Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. I want to talk about the thirst I believe that we all have, and that's the thirst for the living water. And the reason why, Catherine, I had not talked to her, but she took some of my words. You know, Jesus took the whole world's sin upon Him. And you know, when we have our own sins to look at and we start crying out to God for forgiveness, what do? We get so hungry and thirsty for the living water, for that refreshing. Give me that refreshment, Lord. I mean,
it brings us to tears. And here here the Son is, and he's got not just my sins, your sins, but the whole world's sins. And he's going, I thirst. I need that reviving of that living water again. I'm going to read some of David's words. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I appear before God? Something we all look forward to, appearing before God. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainteth in them. We've all been there. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. We all know that feeling of I'm dry. I'm desperate for you, Lord. I need you. This land is so dry to me now. And how we just cry out to him. Give us that water. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That's how he felt. There's nothing. I'm dry. I've got all this upon me, and the land is dry. But this is something I do believe God, in looking at the world, he knew he had to do it as he walked amongst the poor and the needy. Many times I get off from work and just seeing and experiencing the things I see and experience, I cry all the way home. Sometimes I'm still crying when I get home, and I have to tell them, but they're hungry and they're thirsty, you know? They're desperate souls out there, you know? And my heart just cries because I want to reach them. We all need to see that, you know, I remember so many times just saying, Lord, help me to see these people as you see them. Help me to feel that love that you feel. And God gives that to us. And we need to feel what he felt when he saw the people. And he knew there was no other way. He had to take it all. There was no other hope for any of them, for any of us, if he hadn't taken it all upon him. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. He will not forsake them. But he needs us. He needs us to bring it. And this is a part of Revelations I got so excited about, I had to run out and tell Julia last night. She was packing for Disneyland with her son. And I was so excited. I said, before you go, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. And he said to me, if you know John getting his visions, he was asking, you know, who are these people with the white robes? Well, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, this is what we have to look forward to because the Lord's talking about us. We have gone through it and we have taken our filthy robes and we have washed them in the blood. We have washed them. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple? And I can't wait for that day. I cannot wait. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Oh, that is my vision. You've heard that song by Mercy Me, you know, and only imagine, you know. And I have always, as a little girl, imagined myself walking with the Lord, you know, just walking with Jesus, you know, just saying, wow, I get to walk with you. I'm in heaven. So something to look forward. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. We don't even need. It says, neither shall the sun light on them, because he is the sun. He is the sun. He's the light. We don't need that burning sun that dries up our land. He is our light. So why aren't we smiling and spreading it about? For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. and shall lead them unto living waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Wow. Wow. God shall wipe away all their tears. What a great God we serve.
I know a place, a wonderful place, where accused and condemned find mercy and grace, where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us were nailed there with Him, there on the At the cross, He died for our sins.
At the cross, He gave us life again.
I know a place, a wonderful place, where accused and condemned find mercy and grace, where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us were nailed there with Him, there on the cross.
At the cross,
He died for our sins.
At the cross,
He died for our sins.
At the cross,
He gave us life again. I know a place, a wonderful place, where accused and condemned find mercy and grace.
4 or 5 minutes?
Yeah, we'll see. So, where am I? John 19.
New life.
Serve that one. 1930. This is so matter of fact. There's just not much to it, but it's the point that we're here for. And now I got to find it. I have a very small text in this one. I read this in a couple places, and I noticed it's said in different ways when Jesus actually expires, how His spirit left and things like that. Stand by. I have glasses now. I had my finger on it a moment ago. Only when the pressure's on. Well, but I want to start a little early. Yeah, okay. So, a jar of wine vinegar was there. So, and this is kind of cool because there's a little more detail to it. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of, what is a hyssop plant? I don't know. Hyssop?
It's a bush. It's a tree, actually.
Right.
Or a bush, branch.
Which, you know, at this point, he's still a mortal man, you know, so he's... And the physical comfort matters. All this, it's all been leading up to this moment. He lifted to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Yeah, pretty heavy. It is finished. He knew all this stuff was going to happen. He knew he'd be betrayed. He knew he'd be denied. He knew he would die. He set the standard, the example, his whole life. And so the lesson's over. So we now, his lesson is finished. We go on and do the good work, and live up to the standard he set for us. And there's my 4 and 5 minutes. It's simple. Thanks.
I tend to get lengthy, so I wrote this down to keep it succinct and mainly to keep me on track. I can tend to wander. Mine is Luke 23:46. It's, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You know, what I'm about to share with you is fueled by the spiritual reactor that is my spirit. Not my spirit, not being of me, and therefore not of this world, is in constant competition with that which is of the world, and that's self, myself. And I tell you the truth, in this competition, I will fail. But there's hope. Jesus, being perfect, was able to win this battle. And his life and crucifixion was all provided to us as an example. The law is a foundation for faith, but faith is not a checklist. It is a mindset and a discipline. The crucifixion was not only God's plan to eliminate inequality, and by that I mean like the chief priests and the scribes and such, feeling like they are better than others. Jesus' crucifixion basically took away that inequality, made us all equal. In that its salvation is a gift. And I better stick to this because I will really get off. But it's also an example of perfect faith and discipline of self-denial. Now, you know, as I reviewed my verse and the other verses, it's interesting to do this in the mindset of the authors. I actually text Dave and asked who these men were. John, being a fisherman, you look at John and his chronology of Jesus, seems to be from a spectator, one of the people, you know. Matthew, a tax collector, in these verses, there was some stuff in early on about money and stuff like that, and was more along the lines that you'd see a tax collector. Luke, who wrote my verse, as a doctor, and you could see in his recollections a lot of compassion. You know, also what's, besides the other two verses, there's also his accounting of Jesus' words to the daughters of Jerusalem, you know, and his, Jesus' compassion of, don't weep for me, you know, weep for your children, because basically if they can do this to me in good times, think of what they will do to all when the branches are dry, or whatever it says in there, when times aren't so good. You know, and then the other two verses, Father, forgive them, and I tell you the truth. You know, and you look at this and you think, did any of these men think, you know, they knew they were writing a chronology or an accounting of Jesus' life, but did they ever think that they would be so word for word, speck for speck, analyzed? And, you know, but see, God did, you know, and we all have our talents. And, you know, and I'm not just talking fishing or tax collecting or being a doctor, but we have our talents that we really don't see, that God sees and he uses. And, you know, just trust that God does see these. You know, Jesus paid the price. He made us all equal. And as I was saying, I think it was last Sunday, I said, God doesn't have preferences. He has priorities. He doesn't have preference one over the other. We're all equal. But his priority is that we all come to him. God desires his children, but he asks us to help in his pursuit of all of us. He'll use our talents, you know, the talents we don't even know we have, you know, and the song reference, and I'm not sure who did it, but what if I stumble, what if I fall? That's answered by Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. And then you start thinking, you know, well, I'm not worthy for such a great, compassionate God. But then that's answered by, you tell you the truth, you'll be with me in paradise. You know, all you have to do is come to the Lord and have faith and trust, and you will be included. So listen to your soul. It's the greatest gift of them all. It's where the Holy Spirit resides. And that's what I got out of, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, because Jesus, you know, he did the human thing, and God had given him the spirit, as he has given us all in our souls. And I hope for the day that I can return the favor and give back to him what is rightfully his. Thank you.
Who are we that you would be mindful of us? What do you see that's worth looking our way? We are free in ways that we never should be. Sweet relief from the grip of these chains. Like hinges straining from the weight, my heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries for you alone. Be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, you know our hearts don't deserve your glory, but still you show a love we cannot afford. Like hinges straining from the weight, My heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries for you alone. Be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid. These chains are gone, Emmanuel, God with us. Such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet. It's such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet. All that is within me cries for you alone. Be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone, Emmanuel, God with us.
Could we all stand and sing that chorus one more time and just, with all that is within you, just cry for him.
All that is within me cries for you alone. Be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone, Emmanuel, God with us. Such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet.
Praise you, Jesus. We do want to lay this offering at your feet, Lord, as a sweet sacrifice, not nearly, Lord, the sacrifice that you gave to us, Lord. Your son, Lord, and how he shed his blood. But what we have, Lord, we want to just give it to you. We want to give to you, Lord. We want to offer you the sacrifice of praise. And just, Lord, all that we are able to give you, Lord. We offer to you, Lord.
You can be seated. In preparing for this evening and thinking through the scriptures and the words that Jesus chose to leave with us from the cross, I've just been so impressed, just so overwhelmed by the great thing that he did for us, that our God did. I was thinking about that word that Rick spoke about, it is finished. And what Jesus was really talking about when he said, it is finished. Yes, his life is finished and he's lived it perfectly. But I my mind flashed back all the way to creation. When God is first creating this world and he's making a choice to set the world in orbit, to put the animals and put mankind on this earth. And he knew, because God is omniscient. He knows everything that ever was, everything that is, and everything that ever will be. He's omnipresent. He can be anywhere, anytime. He knew what it would mean that by creating man and setting him there in the garden, that sin would come and that man would be doomed unless God did something, and man would never be able to get himself out of the sin that he would fall to in the garden. He'd never be able to come out of it. But God knew he could. And he, that moment, that perfect Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit, that perfect fellowship and union of the three in one that had always been, always will be, and yet he chose to make a change, because it did change the Godhead. When Jesus came down to this earth, and when he took our sins, he became a man, and the scripture describes it as he took on the form of a servant. And I see that as a servant is totally dependent on his master. And he, as a man, was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to help him fulfill and live the life that he lived. And he took that on from the very Godhead to a man, totally dependent, no longer just speak it. He had to say, Spirit, enable me. He had to depend, strengthen me, help me. And he did that perfectly. He lived the perfect life. So when he gets to this point on the cross and he's just come through that point of God turning his back because of the sin was placed on him, and God, and it wasn't, I believe there was part, like Catherine said, of not wanting to look as his son died, but more that it had to be the real sacrifice. It could not be token. He could not just say, oh, it's okay, which is what we always say when one of our kids do something. Oh, it's okay, I'll fix it. You know, God couldn't just say. He did fix it, and that is what he said, but he had to fix it righteously and in the right way. And he couldn't just wink at sin and say, oh, they didn't know what they were doing, it's okay, I'll just let them off the hook. No, the price had to be paid for the sin. Or there would have been no purpose for Jesus coming if he could not have sinned. So the very Godhead is now vulnerable to sin. Because if Jesus could not have chosen sin, then he wouldn't have been our perfect sacrifice. He could have chosen sin, but he lived through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, through the power the Spirit gave him. And he said when he left, I'm giving you that Spirit. You have the same Spirit. So we have the same ability to live like Jesus. Of course, we're never going to do it like he did. But we grow and we grow. Anyhow, but I was just so amazed to think, you chose us, God. You chose us. You knew what it would cost you when you made us. And you said, I want them. And there was no reason. We don't add anything to God except that he gets to love us. And then when we choose him, he gets love back from us, love unsolicited, which was what he was after. And it is finished. He did it on the cross, and now he can and give up his Spirit, and he can go. But he's going to Hades. He's ripping the keys away from the devil. He's taking the keys to death and hell, and he's setting the captives free, and he's coming back. And he's raising from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit. So anyhow, just that choice he made, that choice. And the Bible says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And I believe it was a twofold joy. The joy of presenting us, as it says in Jude, that he will present us spotless, without fault, before the throne of God. And just flashing, can you allow your mind to go there to that picture? We're standing there and Jesus is saying, here, here they are, God. These are the ones I died for. These are the ones I purchased, I cleansed, presenting us. And aren't they beautiful, God? They're perfect. There's no spot on them. There's no sin on them because I took it. And then also the restoration of that perfect, uninterrupted fellowship with Father, Spirit, and Son, reunited in the way they had been before, but yet forever changed, because now there's mankind is part of it too. And Jesus, it says he was the first of many sons to come, and he's bringing us in as part of the family. Not that we're going to be God, not saying that, but we are. He's brought us into the family, but he chose us. He chose us, and he loves us, and he gave us this communion on this night earlier before he was betrayed, or the night before his crucifixion, which we're at now. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. And as we do it, I want us to just do it fully knowing the choice God made. It never caught him by surprise. He made us because he loved us and he had our salvation in mind. He knew it would cost him, and he said we were worth it. And we take the bread and the cup. The bread is, he said, this is to remind you of my body that's broken for you. In this plan that he set in motion when he created the world, he provided for everything, our healing, a whole body, the peace restored with God. It's all there. And he said, eat this and remember what I did. And the cup, and you can go ahead and start passing it, Dave. The blood that was shed that paid the perfect price for our sin. For every sin ever committed, that ever will be committed, ever was committed, it's all covered in this perfect blood of our Savior, our God, who chose to become one of us so that he could bring us up to where he is. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. And the only response we can make to a God who gave it all for us, and then the only response we can make, Lord, is, here I am, Lord, use me. Use my life for your glory, and I give it all that I am to you, Lord. And Jesus, we do that as we take this bread and we drink this cup. We say, we're yours completely, Lord, just as you became completely ours for our salvation, Lord. We love you and we honor you and we thank you that we get to walk a redeemed life, that you never ask us to do what you did and be forsaken, to be totally alone, because your promise to us is that you will never leave us or forsake us. You endured that, so we'll never have to, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. Let's eat your bread, and then you can drink the wine too, or the juice. say something. So, Lord, we just thank you again. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us enough to give up all that you were and become one of us, and to redeem us, Lord, to purchase us. Thank you that you chose us, Lord, and we choose to give our lives to you, Lord, such as they are. And whatever you can do with these lives, Lord, we say do it, Jesus, and use us, Lord. We love you. Amen.
Go ahead and stand and collect the cups. I will say one line, I promise. I'll keep it to one line. Thanks, guys. It's kind of fun. We have the advantage of, even though we're celebrating tonight, Good Friday, Jesus' death on the cross, we have the advantage that no one else did on the day that actually took place. We have a sneak peek. We know it's coming on Sunday. And I just thought it might be good for us to just a little pre-Easter praise and just give God honor and glory that he's due. Lord, we rejoice.
Thank you,
Jesus. We rejoice. You conquered sin and death. And we're so grateful for you, our King. We crown you King. And Lord and Lord, Lord of Lords, glory to your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Work your resurrection power in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Well, bless you all, and thank you all that participated in speaking and leading tonight. I am thoroughly blessed. Thank you.
It makes an 8-hour drive very short.
Yeah. Yeah.